You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We're going to talk about your base commanding your party here in a minute. We're going to rip on feminists. That's always fun. We'll get to emails. We'll talk about the Russia thing. All that and more on the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, speaking of history, there are a bunch of examples of what I'm about to describe. The Zetas, I don't know how you feel like saying it, Los Zetas. Have you ever heard of them? Probably. If you listen to this show, you've heard of them. They're one of the more infamous Mexican drug cartels, and they do all of it, the drugs, the human trafficking, the everything else. They're famous for their brutality, torture, all kinds of stuff. It's really ugly. All of it's bad. But what a lot of people don't realize is the Zetas, they started out not as their own cartel. They started out as a pretty well-trained military force. Most of these guys were former Mexican army. And the Gulf cartel hired these guys, brought them in, organized them, and said, hey, we could use some highly trained dudes who know how to shoot, move, and communicate. You be the enforcement arm for us. And they were for a while. And then, as has happened so many times, the Zetas are looking around thinking, well, wait a minute. We have a lot of guns. And we're really good at killing people. And I kind of feel like we should be our own cartel. If we have all this power, why not take it all the way? Historically, the First Punic War, we've talked about this. One of the things, really the main thing that kicked off the First Punic War was a king hired this group of mercenaries. The group of mercenaries, this is on the island of Sicily, this group of mercenaries walked into this town, and eventually they looked around and thought, well, wait a minute. I know the king hired us, but we have all these swords and shields and spears in this town. I kind of like it. I think I'll take it. If you're not careful, the enforcement arm you hire can end up running you. Trump, there's an article out today in the New York Post about a conversation Trump had with Jeff Bezos. Actually, Trump was sitting down with our buddy Clay Travis. Remember, Jeff Bezos, he's the guy who owns Amazon. He was the guy who, and I don't know if any of this is genuine. Remember, Jeff Bezos has funded all kinds of horrible stuff, but maybe he was just seeing which way the wind was blowing, but he puts out this memo The Washington Post is one of the most despicable left-wing rags in the United States of America. Bezos tells them, quote, "We are going to be writing every day in support and defense of two pillars, personal liberties and free markets. We'll cover other topics too, of course, but viewpoints opposing those pillars will be left to be published by others." Now, I know that's music to your ears, but is there anything communists hate more than personal liberties and free market? Jeff Bezos, he might as well have announced he's running as a Republican for president. If you're a piece of filthy communist trash worth working for the Washington Post, that wasn't music to your ears. But he is the boss, of course, so I'm sure they complied. Nope. This is what Trump told Clay. They actually did a couple bad articles on Bezos. He said, "This is crazy. I lose my fortune running this thing, and the Post newsroom employees, you know they're out of control. These people are crazy. They're crazy people. They're out of control." It's not that they're out of control, Jeff. It's communists, the street animals, the most radical types, find themselves in a unique position. They find themselves in a position where the top dogs are afraid of them. It's a very interesting situation, you see. I want to explain it in this way as best I can. So I figured I might as well use an extreme position on the right to explain it in this way. What's an extreme position on abortion? You know, I'm an anti-abortion extremist. I'd make no apologies for it. So let's focus on that, because that's one of those things that can be really uncomfortable and unpopular. Let's say, and maybe you are this type of person, let's say you believe that abortion is wrong. It should be made federally illegal. And if you're a woman who gets an abortion, you should receive the death penalty. And you want that passed into law federally. You want Congress to pass that. Now, we don't have to sit and quibble about whether or not I agree with that or not. We all would understand, whether you agree with that or not, that nationally, that's not going to be popular at all. At all. The mood of this country is not that anti-abortion. It's not as pro-abortion as Democrats. It's not near as pro-life as someone like me, and I admit that. So something like that is going to be an election loser. The country's going to hate it. The normies are going to despise it. It's going to make us sound like a nutball and a freak. That position, that particular position, is an electoral loser. But what if Republican politicians in the House, the Senate, what if Trump himself, what if guys running for president, they court those voters for so long? Kill all these women. Definitely kill the women. What if they court these voters and court these voters and court these voters and then nurture those views and nurture those views and nurture those years and years and years and years and years of this? And what if that kind of fringe, we'll call it a fringe group, what if that fringe group goes from being a fringe group to being such a gigantic voting bloc for Republicans that you can't win a Republican primary unless you come out and publicly state, hey, women who get abortions, federally guilty, death penalty. You're running for House anywhere, you have to take that position. You're running for Senate anywhere, you have to take that position. You're running for Republican to be the Republican nominee for president, you have to stand up there on the debate stage on NBC and say, I believe women should be killed if they have an abortion. It would be what? Electoral suicide, of course. But if you court that fringe group for long enough, you will find yourself between the ultimate rock and a hard place. And that is, you can take a popular stance that the country likes, or you can take an unpopular stance that your base wants. What you can't do anymore is merge the two. What you can't do is both. What's happening right now inside the walls of the Democrat Party is exactly what I just described on their end. These people now run the Democrat Party.
The Trump cabinet is on track to be one of the whitest cabinets in modern history. And when the government is given unchecked authority...
You know how unpopular that is nationally. Outside of the most rundown districts in the country, that doesn't play anywhere. Nowhere. Yeah, you go to the bad part of town in, well, Jasmine Crockett's district. You go to Jasmine Crockett's district and talk like this. Oh, yeah, you'll get celebrated.
Day that the person that should have been president.
Well, the wrong one. I wanted to play the same one again. This one here.
The Trump cabinet is on track to be one of the whitest cabinets in modern history.
Now, that's going to get you a whole lot of you go, girls, in Jasmine Crockett's district. Around normal people, that's going to get you shunned. So Democrats should reject that, right? Except the Democrat Party has based at least the last 10 years of it on open anti-white hatred, and their candidates, even their white ones, will publicly campaign saying the most despicable people about white people. As a Democrat Party, you may know electorally that you should walk away from that, but the inmates are now running the asylum. You're Jeff Bezos. You walked into the Washington Post with all your billions, and you thought just because you owned the paper, you were going to be able to tell the despicable little communists who write for it that they all of a sudden have to be pro-liberty? Communists hate liberty. They're not going to sign on for that at all. You're simply going to find yourself with a mutiny on your hands. Have you ever asked yourself, why won't CNN just change? I see the ratings. No one's watching. Why won't they just change? Low rating, low rating, low rating. And yet they continue to roll out the next left winger and the next left winger. Why won't they change? The inmates are running the asylum. The Democrats have themselves in quite a pickle. And I, for one, am enjoying it. Now, we're actually going to touch on some emails here in a moment. Of course, the first one is historical. Do you enjoy history? Do you like Anzio? You like when I talk about Rome, Civil War, whatever? You know, Hillsdale can give you a real, legitimate education. Free, no cost. Hillsdale College, the wonderful university we all want our kids to get into. They're offering more than 40 courses online at no cost. Why wouldn't you try that at least? Try it by yourself when you're bored. You'll find it interesting. Your family, something interesting to do that's also beneficial. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. Look, if my sons enjoy it, anyone will enjoy it. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll make fun of the feminists here in just a moment. I want to do some emails first. I also want to say, and maybe you're wondering why I didn't talk about it at the beginning of the show and why I'm not going to dwell on it a lot now. Today, Trump did something very good. He announced he was going to declassify all the documents around all that crossfire hurricane stuff. Okay, that's good. That's good. Why am I not talking about it? Well, maybe you've picked up on this so far. I want to see arrests now. If declassifying crossfire hurricane is step one on the way to government people being arrested, then I'm excited. If it's not, then I don't care. That's where I'm at. Government people have to be arrested. Not just exposed, not fired, not resignations, arrests. They have to be arrested. We can't save the country without that. And if Pam Bondi doesn't have the stomach for that, well, she's got to be replaced. Dr. Bandito, I'm not so convinced that Rasputin was the lover of the Tsarina. The communists were in the middle of a revolution, so on and so forth. Okay, he's talking about, obviously, Rasputin. Rasputin was the advisor, spiritual advisor. I'm not exactly sure how we want to describe him of the czar, the czar's wife, and their children. Okay, so first, Rasputin was, I can't believe I'm going to say this, a spiritual man, if you will, considered himself to be a priest. A priest with some leeway, apparently. He was a man who enjoyed a good drink every now and then. He is a man who would enjoy women, lots of them. He was famously a wild character, meaning he would sit at the table with fancy people. He'd meet dignitaries, and he might reach over and pinch a lady's butt at a fancy thing with you know, suits and ties and dresses on, just a kind of a savage. So why would the Tsar and Tsarina keep him around? They had a boy who had hemophilia really, really badly. That's where you can't stop the bleeding and terrible pain. And imagine what that's like for a boy. My boys come home with scrapes and bumps and bruises every day. You can't do anything really because you can bleed to death. The Tsar and Tsarina believed that Rasputin had the ability to heal their son. And I don't know what's real and what's not. All we know are letters they wrote back and forth. And you know, we heard from a guy who heard from a guy. It does sound like sometimes what he did with their boy was borderline miraculous. And as a parent, if the worst person in the world is saving your son, you probably think they're okay. And so he was kept in their inner circle, but he was a walking scandal. Rasputin would walk out of the palace having cared for the boy, and they find him passed out drunk the next morning in a house of ill repute, if you will. And this is the era that photographs exist, right? That hits the newspapers. There are all kinds of forces opposing the Tsar at this time. And so one of the rumors that was floating around because of Rasputin's manner was that Rasputin and the Tsarina were having an affair, that they were lovers of some kind. Look, who knows? Again, who knows? Most of the evidence points to the fact that that's garbage. That was tabloid garbage that doesn't have any reality to it at all. But that's the exact kind of thing that goes back to what we've talked about so many times before. The further away you get from something, the less reliable the sources are going to be. Think about today. Think about what we call the fake news today. Think about the endless lies you will see if you turn on the television today. Lie after lie after, I mean, outright lies. Well, let's say there are 100 news shows. 100 news shows that come on at 8 p.m. Eastern time at night. Okay? 100 news shows with all the other channels. Let's say 85 of those news shows are completely slanted, telling dirty communist lies every single nightly newscast. Okay, you with me? So 80% of the news shows today, they carry nothing but lies. All right? Now, let's fast forward 100 years from now. Not even way, way, way far in the future. Obviously, I'll be dead. You'll be dead. But 100 years from now, way in the future, they're looking back on this era. What, as they sift through everything, the endless quantity of media and social media and emails and texts, and as they sift through this, what will be the Air Fingers, quote, truth that lasts through the ages? What if somebody writing a book on what America was like in 2025, what if their two main sources are the New York Times, largest newspaper in the country, and NBC, largest channel in the country? Now, those are two disgusting publications that lie about everything. But if you're an author 100 years from now and you don't know any better, tell me two more reliable sources than the biggest newspaper in the country, the biggest TV channel. You see what I mean? Now go back further. Go back 1,000 years from now when we have one source. What was his motivation? What was his bias? As much as it pains me to admit it, We know a lot of things about history that aren't true, and we'll never know what they are because we don't have enough sources. Anyway, that was Rasputin. Let's talk about this article and feminism and why they're having a hard time finding somebody. Before we talk about that, let's talk about Pure Talk. You see, two things in life are certain: death and taxes. But Pure Talk has added a third. That's that you'll save money when you switch. When you have Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, and you switch to Pure Talk, there are a lot of things to love about it. The bill might be the most important thing. But if you could pocket an extra grand a year, it's like getting a raise at work. Average family that switched to Pure Talk pockets exactly that. What extra could you do with that $1,000? Pure Talk, they're on the same 5G network. It's easy. You keep your phone, number, or get new ones. They have new ones, whatever you like. Their CEO is a veteran, fought for this country. There's no reason not to switch to Pure Talk. None. When it's cake, they even hire Americans. Right now, when you switch, you'll save an extra 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. I will get to the emails, and you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We got a race hoax. We got a ceasefire. We have all kinds of wonderful things still to come. I just have to touch on this one first because it was written by this feminist woman, and it's from the Metro. The woman's name is Alice Giddings, and this is the headline of the article. Half of women have been dumped for this reason. Toxic masculinity is alive and well. But that doesn't make sense. What's she talking about? You dig into the article. Nearly half of women, 44%, believe they've been broken up with because of their feminist views. And the lady goes on to say, you know, the movement fighting for equal rights and opportunities. According to the global study by some dating app, 62% of women believe that being a feminist has made it more difficult to find a partner. Now, I'm going to explain this in the most basic way humanly possible. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have daughters, feminism, it goes to the heart of the anti-humanism that is communism. I know that's a lot of isms, so let me say that again. Feminism gets right to the heart of the anti-humanism that is communism. See, men and women, they were made for each other, created for each other. We're supposed to fit together. We're different, and it's fun to make fun of our differences. It's fun. It's enjoyable, and our differences fit together. If someone texts me, my mom texts me and says, hey, can I come down and visit on this weekend? She knows not to just text me. She knows to include Aubrey on that text because I have no idea what the house schedule is. We could be in Zimbabwe that day and I would have no idea. I don't know. Ob knows. Ob keeps the schedule. Okay, so our differences help us fit together. They are to be celebrated, laughed at, but that's why God made us different, so we fit together. Now, if you, man or woman, but we'll make this about women because the article is about feminism, if you see those differences, men are different, they look different, they get paid different, they are different, and you decide that that is unjust, then you are going to even that out. You're going to make things more equal. Well, here's the problem, you see. There's no possible way to make women and men equal in every way without tearing down and turning off men. No man ever in the history of the world has grown up thinking to himself, man, I hope I marry some woman who's going to straighten me out. That's what I need. Guys don't think in that way at all. Men want women who will support them and love them and make delicious grilled cheese sandwiches and things like that. Women want men who will love them and support them and protect them and provide for them. These are all very understandable desires. But when you decide you're going to become a feminist, you are actually deciding, you are making a conscious choice to make yourself less palatable to the opposite sex. And one of the most hilarious and saddest things about this is when feminists are presented with what I just said, they know it's true, but they'll try to lecture you out of it. Well, men shouldn't think that. See, automatically, you're already lecturing immediately. I'm turned off even more. I was already turned off by your feminist presence, but now that you actually started nagging and lecturing, now I'm twice as turned off. Do you see? You see how you can't possibly win this battle? No, but women should. No, you don't understand. Nobody likes to get nagged at by a bitter woman. Nobody. Men don't. Women don't. Children don't. Nobody does. If you are a feminist, or even worse, if you're raising your daughter to be a feminist, it can be very, very tempting in this age. Especially, let's say you're a single mom. Maybe your ex did you wrong. Understandable. You would have an axe to grind with the opposite sex. Very, very easy to look at that daughter of yours and teach her, men are garbage, honey. You go do your thing. You don't need no man. Feels good. I get it. Yeah. You're raising her to be hated. And she's going to look around one day and wonder, why do all the guys reject me? Guys, they don't think I'm equal. No guy wants that. Nobody wants that. So you don't even have to be political about it. If you raise your daughter to be a feminist, you're raising her to be miserable. If you're a feminist, you will be miserable for the rest of your life until you give up your feminist ways. Men and women are different, and that's fine. You know what isn't different? Race hoaxes. Those have been around for a while.
On March 10, 2025, the Forensic DNA Division of the Pennsylvania State Police issued a written report indicating that Ms. Brown's DNA matched the DNA profile obtained from the swabs of both the outer surface and inner knotted portion of the noose after it was taken apart. no other person's DNA profiles found on the evidentiary items involved in this location, in this investigation. As a result of this investigation earlier today, Detective Harold Bonds of the Allentown Police Department filed charges against LaTarsha Brown at District Court 31-2-01 for the criminal offenses outlined earlier by Chief Rocha.
That lovely lady created a noose for herself. Of course, claimed it was laying around. Of course, she's a member of the school board. She's one of those people deciding the education Aiden, Jaden, and Braden will get in the fifth grade. There is that, what is that wonderful line from Thomas Sowell? The problem for all these racist types is, or all these civil rights types is, the supply of racism way, way outpaces the demand. There are people, the Jasmine Crocketts of the world, who have risen to their station only on this kind of ridiculousness. And they can't give it up, or they give up their station.
Day that the person that should have been president had to deliver her concession speech. I honestly didn't know how I was going to get out of bed. When I tell y'all, I'm getting emotional, that I traveled this country because I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't know it was going to be this f***ing bad shit, but I knew. And I knew that the obstacles were going to be even greater because not only was it a woman, but it was a woman of color. But man.
Remember when I told you these people have taken over the Democrat Party and now the Democrat Party can't bring them to heel? It's amazing watching it. Dear Jesse, I discovered you around 2 years ago. I've been enthralled, hanging on every word since. I only get 45 minutes in before I get home. Sometimes I sit in my driveway and listen, just taking it in. I was listening to an episode from February this year, I think, on Prime, whatever. What did he say here? This is about me saying, I heard you read an email from someone who's disagreeing with you wanting to give Congress a raise. I heard your explanation was, you get what you pay for. I can't for the life of me justify this statement from you. It has me baffled. Keep in mind, I've never disagreed with anything you said. I freaking love you. Explain what you mean by this. Do you think if we pay representatives more, we will get a better bunch of people? I wish you would admit that was a stupid comment so I could go back to loving you, your dedicated listener. No, you get what you pay for. If I put out an advertisement and let's say I finally am getting ready to shed the burden of Chris. And let's say I put an advertisement in the paper that I'm looking for a producer and I am willing to pay $6 an hour for this producer. Or I can put out an ad in the paper and say, hey, there's a producer job for, I mean, I don't know, pick your number, a generous salary. Which job is going to get quality candidates? How many quality candidates am I going to get for $6 an hour? How many? How many quality candidates are going to look at that and think that's where I want to work? You get what you pay for, including in Congress. And I know it's the least popular position I will ever take, giving these scumbags in Congress a raise. I get it. But these people, it invites corruption when they make what they make. And they are all just trying to butter up the establishment for the next gig for when they get out and get some lucrative lobbying job. I've told you before, I think they should be cut off from all stock trading. All family members should as well. Pay them $1 million a year, period. You don't get any other income. What, Chris? It's fine. Chris can't take it anymore. It's okay, Chris. We'll move off of this topic. Let's talk about Tunnel to Towers. Let's talk about widows and orphans. There are sadly a lot of those over the last 20 years between the GWAT with all the law enforcement ambushes. Firemen are always out there risking their lives, sometimes losing their lives. Be nice if we had an organization that was taking care of the ones left behind. We do. It's called Tunnel to Towers. And you know, I've warned you many times before, be very careful about charities. You should look up every charity, even ones you hear about here. Look up every charity before you give. They get charity ratings based on how much of a charity it really is. Go look up the Tunnel to Towers charity rating. When you give, it gets to the widows and orphans. $11 a month. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Looks like we got a 30-day Black Sea ceasefire over there, Russia, Ukraine. So that's a good thing. Now, we don't have a peace deal yet. As you know, it's going to take time. I actually talked to somebody today who believes it might very well take years to finally get a total peace deal here. Who controls what? Who's at the, I mean, the red lines don't even line up for each country. Russia is going to have a red line of we're keeping the territory we took. Ukraine's already announced our red line is they have to give back all the territory they took. I mean, it's just not. So we don't have anything yet, but a framework is starting to form, and that is a good thing, is it not? Also, I saw there was a little bit of controversy on SNAP and should people be allowed to buy soda on SNAP. Many people, myself included, say, no, if you're on any kind of a government assistance program, it's bare necessities. So I'm not going to get into all that. But I will say this, and I hate myself for even saying this, but like I said, I've been in a terrible mood all day, so I might as well just come out and say something I don't like. Soda, pop, depending on which part of the country you're from. For me, it's 5 to 10 pounds. Not even kidding. It's that simple for me. When I drink it, and I like a good Mountain Dew or something like that as much as the next man with my Taco Bell. I'm an American after all. If I'm in a place where I'm drinking a Mountain Dew, drinking a Coke here, drinking a this, drinking a that, it's 5 to 10 pounds of weight gain. And the second I stop, within 2 or 3 weeks, I will be down 5 to 10 pounds without a single other adjustment in my life. Isn't that wild? I cannot change a thing, donuts, pizza, whatever. That's how truly terrible for you that stuff is. So I hate myself for even being that guy, for being Mr. Weirdo lecturing health freak. So just ignore what I just said. However, it is 100% true. Jesse, the beer can chicken is fine if you are, however, if you are into sweet and smoky, use a can of root beer in the big old yard bird. Chris, Corey, have you ever guys ever used root beer in beer can chicken? Never? I know you're supposed to use beer, Chris. It doesn't have to be beer. It never even occurred to me to do root beer. I'm not huge on sweet meats, though. What? Maybe it treats it like a glaze. Yeah, but I don't see how it would treat it as a glaze because the can is on the inside. I mean, I guess you could glaze the inside. But what, Chris, is your problem? Jesse, is it time to replace Bondi and Patel? No new information, no one jailed, and the commie judges are still running the country. First of all, let's give Cash some time. That's one. Two, like I said earlier about the Bondi thing, I now see another thing. We're gonna expose everyone who was involved in Crossfire Hurricane. Okay? Who's going to jail? We need to see people in jail. People must go to jail. We don't know. Look, 2 months in, we don't know whether or not Pam Bondi's going to send government people to jail. 2 months in, we don't know. As of right now, no one's gone to jail. We at least are hearing her say there will be prosecutions. There will be prosecutions. And remember, this is why you don't ever want to be a pom-pom waver for any politician. Don't ever be one of these dorks. Everything this guy does is perfect. Because politicians respond to the things you want, the things you like, the things you dislike, Donald Trump included. Donald Trump is outstanding at listening to the desires of his base, of his voters, and responding to those desires. Donald Trump, when he first launched his run for president, couldn't stop bragging about the vaccine. He kept getting booed. Stop bringing it up. You don't ever hear about it again because he responds to his credit. The worst possible thing you can do is become a pom-pom waving loser for whatever your favorite politician is, because then you don't ever get anything you want. You're just a loser on the side. Go, go, go. It's pathetic. They hear people on the right now starting to grumble about prosecutions. I promise you Donald Trump has heard it by now. That word is getting out there. Don't be quiet. Be loud. Be loud about what you demand. It's your government. You don't worship anybody. You're not a servant. You're not a subject. You're a citizen with desires for your country. Make demands. I demand arrests. Period. Anything less than that, as I've said, I will consider a failure. If 4 years from now we end this presidency without government people in prison, it was a failed presidency. Period. That's it. That's how it's got to be.
And now...
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Kentucky governor vetoes a bill ending DEI in the state's higher education, calls his veto a, quote, act of love. Just a little heads up for all you parents thinking about sending your kids off to school in Kentucky. They will be indoctrinated. United Airlines flight to China diverted to San Francisco after a pilot forgets his passport. Oh, man. That's the all-time bummer right there. Hegseth sends two carriers to the Middle East in escalating campaign against the Houthis. Houthis have actually been quite quiet, haven't they? I guess once American firepower starts raining down on your head, you tend to quiet down a little bit. DEI official at Catholic Loyola University sticks by DEI as other universities axe it. Some are digging in. Some are at least acting like they're complying. Be shrewd as snakes with these colleges. Republicans move to shut down CCP police stations on U.S. soil. Oh, well, what are we going to do? Shut down Congress? Okay, I'll be back tomorrow for hump day. That's all.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.